Hi, everybody. You've probably forgotten what I look like. I'm a visiting preacher. I go to this church in Whitstable. Lovely church. But, I haven't really been around for 3 months because Jeanette and I have been through really, really, really hard time. Yeah. So whatever I say, I want you to know that I'm not saying all of this out of theory. I'm saying that hopefully you get a sense that I'm speaking out of practice. We're going to continue our series looking at Jesus's thoughts expressed to the disciples literally hours before he's about to be annihilated on the cross, crucified. Nails driven into him, wits scourged. But he knows what's coming, but he's so joyful at saying, I have to do this for a reason. So let's read the passage. So, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Father God, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and teach us. This afternoon, not long enough. Tomorrow, not long enough. Next week, not long enough. The rest of our lives, Lord, we say, Lord, teach us. Holy Spirit, come teach us. Remind us of these things. Remind us that if we abide in you, you abide in us, Lord. That's crazy. It's just so crazy. So, Father God, help me not to get in the way, but to be a messenger of your brilliant message about the birth of a star called church. I want to play the first video.
You know, how often in your Christian walk do you just go, do you know what? I just don't get this. I just can't get my head around this. Or you read something in the scripture or you hear something in a preach and you go, oh, this is too complicated. I can't seem to access this. And so we write ourselves off from a level of intimacy and understanding with God based upon our intellect, when it's got nothing to do with how clever we are. What we need is the Holy Spirit. We need someone to counsel and teach us and lead us into truth.
Brilliant preaching we're getting from our preaching team. Let's honour the preaching team by taking what they say and saying, Holy Spirit, I will dwell upon this. Study's good. All that you do is brilliant. But meditating is so essential to get the word of God to get out of your mind and dwell richly in you. We're talking about the abiding word of God. This has got to be an abiding word, or I might as well pack up now. If this is candy floss, don't worry. It means you need discipline. Don't worry. If this is meat, then you're going to go take it home and cut it up. It's like in your journey, it's like a bit of seasoned meat that you bring out your bag and you cut and you eat as you go along your life. So I can't tell you, I can only commend things, but you'll find that Jesus will command certain things. Why is Jesus saying this to the disciples? He's saying abiding is the means by which we consciously surrender to the indwelling presence of Jesus in our new spiritual nature. It is an intimate communion with his person, character, and purpose. Does that sound good? Sounds right to me. He's describing how that's going to happen, why that's important. He's saying, whatever you do, if you're not abiding this rubbish, it's going to lead to nothing. You're still going to be saved. Don't worry about that. But I want to move you from being a people of the flesh to a spiritual people. And the way I do that is you've got to abide in me and you've got to be like me. Why does he choose vine? Vine is so glad he chose vine. Vine is the worst plant on the planet. It's a terrible plant. In its natural form, what it does is it goes by a tree and it corrupts the tree. It climbs up the tree. It's the wildest plant. There's no cultivated vine. There's only a really vile, wild plant that will dominate and want prominence in the sky. It wants prominence. And once it gets prominence, it might think about fruit. So what does the vine dresser do in a vineyard? He plants the wildest, unfruitful thing in the world, and he prunes and he prunes and he prunes, and he cuts back all of that old growth to focus on getting the fruit in the light. Yeah? If we don't, the difference between people of the flesh and people of the spirit are that they're not discipled, or you haven't got people around you that say, Holy Spirit moment, Holy Spirit moment, Holy Spirit. I'm so glad I've got people in my life that say, Holy Spirit moment, Holy Spirit moment, bit of pruning, bit of pruning, bit of pruning. That's what we need in the church. That's what's on Jeff's heart. It's that we're people that are open to saying, get a bit crazy there, Mike. So he's picked the analogy of the wildest thing. Yeah, and it's prone to wildness, but it needs to be pruned, it needs to be trained. And abiding is all right, yeah, in terms of the branch in the vine. What he's saying is it's grafted in. You're so wild that there was a cut in the flesh of Jesus where he pushed you into that vine. And he's saying, I've put you in there and you're saved, but I'm going to have to prune all the time. My father, the father prunes me. I never knew that, really. The father prunes me. That's beautiful. The father comes carefully and clips back. But he won't clip it back unless somebody else has said, oh, that looks a bit dodgy. Or the Holy Spirit's reminded me that that doesn't sound right, does it? And then he comes and vine dresses. Not against our will, he will cut us back. So that I'm trained to be in the sun and bear fruit. So pruning and abiding are so essential. If a vine in a vineyard is left to its own way, it won't bear fruit. In fact, it will become what's called dead wood. And if it gets really bad, yeah, it needs really seriously cutting back. Fruitfulness draws the sap. Yeah, the sap doesn't go into all the wild branches. It gets pulled by the fruit. So the sap is brought out by fruitfulness. So the doing, the action of being fruitful actually makes us abide because it brings Christ into us. You see what I mean? So fruitfulness and Christ being brought into us, the two go hand in hand. So if I sound like I'm saying works, we're now shifting to works, that's wrong. We're saying that by grace you're saved and you're grafted in, but by being fruitful you're drawing the sap. You're drawing the presence of Christ into your fruitfulness. It's evident. Christ is evident. So, is it significant? Well, the passage reads that it's the only way Jesus guarantees we can build our faith in prayer. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It's the only way Jesus guarantees we can bring glory to the Father. By this abiding, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. It's the only way that Jesus guarantees we can prove to the world that he is alive. And so, by abiding fruitfulness, you prove you're my disciples. That's what the world needs. The world needs, it seemed only to need 12 abiding fruitful disciples to turn the world upside down. Don't seem to need many of them. He's got thousands now, that's why he went. He's got millions of disciples. Imagine every disciple convinced of this by the Holy Spirit that's taking the burning nuclear love of Christ out into every situation. It's the only way that Jesus says that he can guarantee we're empowered by the Father's love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in this love. It's the only way Jesus guarantees we can learn how to obey the Father's will. If you keep my commandment to do this, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So his fatherhood, sonship, is learning in Christ to obey. Yeah? Obey seems to be a dirty word in the church sometimes. It's like, we don't talk about obedience, that's legalism putting pressure on me. God speaks to the Holy Spirit. He says here, I command obedience. I command abiding obedience. It's like you can be saved. You can be grafted into Christ, yeah? You're saved to be grafted into Christ and to bear fruit. That's the full gospel. One part of the gospel is saying that you're dead in your trespasses. You're wild and you'll be fruitless and you'll be chopped down by the enemy. At the end, come judgment, you'll be ruined, yeah? And you're grafted in, and you can say, that's fine, that's it. That isn't the whole gospel. The full gospel is, and then you will bear abiding fruit. It's a full gospel message that we need to realize and speak. It's the only way Jesus guarantees we can be sustained in our trials by his joy. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. If you think, oh no, I'm not doing that. Oh, no. I think he's got the wrong end of the stick there, hasn't he? Like, grace is sufficient. Yeah, grace is sufficient. Before God, yeah, he's dealt with all this sin. You say, it's done. I haven't got a problem. I'm clean. Look at me before God. Hello, God. I'm completely sinless before God. Yeah, you are. But in the meantime, before you get to the judgment seat of God, there's things to be done. And it's bearing fruit through abiding. Did these disciples get it? Yeah. Did the disciples get this abiding principle? Do you think they got it? We go to Acts 2. We always quote this Acts 2. And I don't know about you. In Acts 2 it says, and they did, these are the people, that the next generation of disciples, yeah, that were being discipled by apostles now. These disciples become apostles. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and belongings, they distributed their proceeds to the needy, and day by day they broke the bread, they came back to this room. They came back to the birthing place of the star of the church. They came back to the communion, which is in this Last Supper. They came back to that. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, and they had favor with all the people. They didn't do anything apart from be abiding disciples. They hadn't gone out into Samaria and they hadn't spread out on a mission. They were just celebrating the communion. They were celebrating their abiding ability. And that struck people. And people saying, I want that. You know, even when they're despairing, even when they're afflicted, they've got this joy, they've got this peace. Christ is breaking out in them. And it's the fruit of Christ is the only thing we can take into the world. The fruit of the flesh will not do anything. It will look like it's good. Christ's definition of lawlessness in this world is not a rule book. That's the old temple. That's the old law. It's not a rule book. His definition of lawlessness is, if you don't know me, you don't abide in me. And we'll see that even if you don't abide, it doesn't matter. You've got every chance until the day you die of coming back to being fruitful. Let's go on and look at fruitfulness then. Jesus does not command abiding fruitfulness. Oh, sorry, does not commend abiding fruitfulness like I'm doing. That's all I can do is commend it. He commands it as the very reason we have been chosen. You did not choose Jesus. You never chose him. You didn't choose him. He chose you. Yeah? He chose you and appointed you to go and bear abiding fruit. Jesus does not commend it. He commands it. You say, oh, he's well into works territory now. He's well gone off his nutcase, isn't he? I'm not. This is not something you do or you have to do or you as a penance. You don't have to get a hair shirt and beat yourself up. No, he's just saying that it's not optional. It's not mandatory. It's inevitable. You all are abiding, fruitful disciples of a living God who dwells in you and dying to break out in every situation. So, first type of fruit, fundamental, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the personality of Christ breaking out in you. You say, no, I'm not a bad-tempered wretch. Oh, I am. I'm a bad-tempered, Mike is a bad-tempered, overbearing control freak, yeah? And he's flaky as you could possibly imagine, yeah? Well, that's a lie, isn't it? That's the old flesh. The old flesh corrupts by its desire to dominant, to be prominent. I want to be prominent. Crucified is crucified. It's put off. And the Holy Spirit will remind me, no, you're in Christ and he's in you. His personality is described by the fruits of the Spirit. My love, my joy, my peace, my patience, my gentleness, my kindness, my faithfulness, my self-control cannot come out of a tethered, tamed old self. It's got to be cut back. It's got to be that I release Jesus Christ in his personality. Everybody is encountering, not bad-tempered, flaky Mike. They're encountering loving, kind Jesus. If you're not being like Jesus, forget everything else. It's a waste of time, Jesus says. You can go off to Russia, you can go off to the world, you can do this, you can do that. But it's fine, but he says it's nothing if it's not me going with you and in you. Yeah? If it's not coming out of my direction, my love. So we've got to fundamentally be fruitful in the Spirit. We've got to realize and let the character and personality of Jesus break out in every situation. Second fruit, the other fruit that I discussed with my friend was actually that is the fruit of suffering. Yeah, you'll find God will allow suffering to bring that personality out in you. Yeah, and you'll do it. I see it. I spoke to a lovely brother who was 80-odd. He said, I'm fruitless. I said, what? I could see Jesus in you. You're joking me, man. Like, crazy person. You're loving, gentle, kind. You're amazing. Yeah, am I? I think, what a shame that we don't applaud. What a shame that we don't get people coming up the front saying, last week, my old flesh kicked off, but praise God, he pruned me. And I found Christ in me. That's the testimony that these people in the early church were hearing. And the people in the early church that we love, the apostles they were committed to and devoted to, wasn't Paul. He hadn't even been saved. They were devoted to this message. And you could say, well, Paul don't preach this. Well, he does. Look at Ephesians. Everybody loves Ephesians 4 ministries. Yeah, brilliant. The gifts. But actually, if you look at Ephesians 4, 20 to 25, he actually says, oh, by the way, you used to be really wild, didn't you? But if you remember, you were taught how to put off the old self that corrupts by its deceitful desires. You were taught to put on, renew, let the Holy Spirit renew who you really are in Christ. And he says something remarkable. And you put on the new self, made to be like God in holiness and righteousness. Why do we try to mortify ourselves, teach the flesh to be holy and righteous when we've already got a new nature, has done all that? Christ on the cross did that and he birthed himself into us. This sun was burst into you when you gave your life to Jesus. This sunlight, this star, this hope, this peace, this love, this kindness was birthed into you. And it wants to break out now. It wants to break out, yeah? So, the fruit of suffering. When you're suffering, let's take peace, you know? Can we play the second video? I wanted Jeff to preach this because he's such a fine preacher, but he asked me to do it. Very dangerous of him, by the way, but...
Real peace, biblical peace, shalom, inner healing and wholeness is not about the absence of war. It's not about the absence of storms. It's not actually about anything external at all. It's about the peace that comes from God. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. My peace. And just think about that for a second. When you think that Jesus is hours away from going to the cross, and yet in all of the very real trouble of heart that he would have felt, he still had peace.
I found that really moving when you said that. And I've been dwelling on it all week, and I've been reminded of it. That's what it, that cop, when he died, he was crucified and executed. They spat at him. They annihilated him on the cross as in his body. But he said, I have to do this to get us carrying on. You know, I have to do this so that we, you disciples and me, the pair of us, joy, love, laughter, I'll take all the pain and suffering. You're going to love this. You're going to love it. They didn't get it before the cross. They all scattered. They didn't even get it at the resurrection when he said, with the Great Commission, they never really got it. They only got it, as Jeff said last week, when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And they were born again, I believe they were born again. They had Jesus then grafted in them. They had the new nature within. And then, what did Jeff say last week? Then we see the exploits of the apostles. Because Christ, he couldn't do that when he's with them. But boy, oh boy, could he do it when he's in them. Just going to click the next slide. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. You'll say, stroll on. That sounds a bit, oh, I don't like that. I don't know about you. If I'm reminded of that in my flesh hates that. Oh, hang on a minute, if I do carry on like this, I might be burned up, might dabble with it, give it a go. I'll give it a go, yeah? It's all just folly, yeah? So, in terms of my next point, which is warnings not to ignore, I'm saying it's not just significant, it's not just beneficial, it's not just essential, I'm saying it's absolutely inevitable that you will look at this and say, yeah, this is saying that by my fruits I'm judged. My authenticity as a disciple, our authenticity as a church, it's got to be, are we abidingly fruitful disciples? You are. But is that our main cause? Now, you might say, there's two warnings here. One is, you'll end up doing nothing. Yeah, you'll not do a sausage because you'll do it all in your own flesh. You'll be very loving. You'll be very caring. You'll be motivated by very good worldly things. Lots of people out there are so loving and beautiful. They're the creatures of God. They are really lovely, yeah? But they won't be fruitful. They won't be fruitful. Let's not copy them. That's all Jesus is saying. We'll just abide and it won't happen. It's inevitable. Once you abide in, once you get this, you'll be fruitful. We then get this thing where Jesus said, if you're not fruit, God's saying, God's going to come, cut you away, and throw you in the fire. And people say this is clearly shows that you can lose your salvation. I don't think so. Jesus is saying this to the disciples. I don't even think Jesus is in the room, is he? What he's saying is, if you look up vine, very interesting, look at vine, how vine, the vineyards work with this crazy, bad, vile plant that wants to go mad. They prune it. Every single year, the vine dresser, the chief vine dresser, goes into the vineyard and he cuts back all last year's fruit-bearing stuff and he throws it in the fire. So what Jesus is saying, at the end of a season in your life, however dull and boring it might have been, and I don't know how dull and boring your church life has been, I don't know, I assume you're doing... Wow! This is crazy good! Christ has died for me and lives in me so that I can go and tell the world, I can be Christ at work. I can be Christ at home. I can be Christ always. Sometimes, yeah, because I still have to battle war with the flesh. But my predominant thought is I can be Christ in every situation. That what he's saying is, even if you don't feel fruitless, just say to the Holy Spirit, here I am, Father, cut it back. And he's saying every year, every season of your life, just cut it all back and they throw it on the fire. Now, if he continues doing that year after year, you're completely fruitless and all you're doing is, you know, doing what your flesh wants, and its desire is the same desire that Cain, what Brian said, that Cain, God said to Cain, do you not know sin's lurking at the door and it desires you? That's what's in us, is that desire to be prominent, to go our own way. He's just, if you live all of that, the scriptures are quite clear. You're not going to lose your salvation. But he says, at my judgment, And if you like me, after all this talking, I've probably got a little fruit, a little grape, I don't know. Here's my little grape. They say, well done. If I say, oh, blimey, the grape's dead, it was withered, I thought it was a grape, weren't there. They say, you'll escape that judgment like a man that's escaping the fire. So you'll escape that fire that Father dresses. You'll escape it, but you'll suffer loss. You'll suffer loss. So you don't lose your salvation by, I'm not saying do, if you do all this out of flesh and you think, oh, now I've got another load of stuff to do. No, I'm just saying, come on, abide in the love. Abide in the love. I want to stop there. I want to create some space for some vine dressing. Don't worry if I end up on the floor being vine dressed most here. It's got to come, hasn't it? All that talk. But it's significant to me. I've dedicated my life to wanting to know how to be abidingly fruitful. I want to know what it's like on a... And I've tried this in grief. I've tried this in suffering. I've tried this in travail. I've tried this in collapse when I've had a collapse in myself. You know, I've collapsed emotionally into a heap. I've tried this when I'm busy at work. I've tried this with my little beautiful granddaughter who happened, I'm sorry, she's the most beautiful creature on the planet. Talk about your granddaughter's life, mine's so beautiful, she's the best. When she's howling and crying after 2 hours, you can't put her to bed. I don't know, what is this thing? But it's like, even in that, like, oh, Jesus, you want to see your granddaughter? What should you think about her? I love her. It's his love and his patience and his peace coming out of me. So it's got to be an act of surrender somewhere in my thinking that says, no, my old self is like, oh, could this bleeding baby, I need to send it away somewhere or do something. It's like, no, that's a flesh. It's like, no, it's a peace. It's Christ's peace. I'm letting his peace, his love, his joy, his gentleness come out in me. And the parents say, I don't know, you've got the patience. I'm not a patient person, but I think I have to fall back on the thought that actually there is a, the real me is like Jesus, and he dwells in me. Yeah. So I'm going to stop there. And just by conclusion, I've presented to you an argument that abiding fruitful discipleship appears the only way Jesus commanded the disciples to birth this church. I don't see any other way. I believe Paul got it. If you read, he says, walk in the Spirit. He says, put on the mind of Christ. He says crazy things. Are we called as a church to a season of surrender to our appointment? How many more medals do we need? How many more stamps do we need on our passport? I'm chosen. I'm appointed. I'm a royal priest. I dwell in the vine of God. I've got, you know, there's some. I'm commissioned. How many more do I need to hear to say I've got everything I need? And Christ dwells in me, my new nature. Yeah. But until you get this, being with Jesus and being in Christ and letting Christ be, until you've done that, you'll end up being frightened and you'll do nothing. Just go and be Christ in your workplace. Go and be Christ at home. Listen to your tone of voice, is what I do. Unfortunately, I've got a wonderful discipler called my wife. Tone of voice, it's like, oh, got to put off Mike and put on Christ. Listen to your tone of voice. Listen to what you say, criticizing people. It's all flesh, all signs of flesh. Listen to when you're at work and you're under so much stress. Listen to your body aching. Aching with stress, and not being trivial. My body's ached with pain, with real suffering. Yet, I've got a joy that's unquenchable. He died for me. They drove nails into his body. They laughed at him. They kicked him. They scourged him. The Roman Empire, all of the powers that be of the world. Yeah, they laughed and scoffed and crucified him so that I could be joyfully living his life. Sounds a fair and wonderful trade to me. It's just my flesh that stops me living that way. So I'm going to stop there. I'll just say I'm going to stop 10 minutes. I could go on for days now. This is the point where we're going to the biting terrain where you think you made your point and you shut up now. So just going to open up the floor now. Open up the floor too. A little piece of music that I want you to remember. If I want you to remember anything of today, is you've got to go in your discipleship groups, you've got to go in your life and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you this and to remind you it. You've got to debate it, you've got to discuss. I don't know what you discuss in your discipleship groups. I'm saying, look at this series, look at this passage. You know, argue it. Say it's right, it's rubbish, I'm not doing that. Be honest, be real. Our value is that we can boast in our weakness. I can't do that. You know, let's just be real, let's discuss it, let's get it, yeah? But one little refrain, which I've been reminded of, is let the sun shine in. So when you're cross and you're anxious, when you're suffering, you who know Christ, any minute in the gloom, you can let the sun shine in by this amazing thought. Christ is in me. Abide in him means I've got to realize, we've got to come together now, Jesus. What I'm struggling here. Be my strength, be my peace, be my joy, be my gentleness, be my comfort, please. let me pray. Father God, I really believe that you're saying Westerport Community Church is this. That's what you're birthing in Jeff and the preaching team and the elders, Lord. Lord, let us help them, Lord. They can't do it on their own. That's what you're saying to them. And they might think, how do we do this? And they might be in danger of doing it in the flesh. But we're saying, no, Lord, let's close the gap between what you've been saying in the preaching to the reality that we commit ourselves. Say, yeah, I'm appointed and enabled and ready to be taught, reminded that I can bear fruit that abides, that remains. But I need to abide in your love and your joy and your lightness. Thank you for the reminder, Lord. Amen.